What up? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're back. Episode number
10.
10. How do you say that in Spanish?
Double digits.
Yes.
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 Episode number 10.
I mean numero.
Numero
10. Numero 10. Episode numero 10. That's one of the things that Dennis learned in his time spent down south of the border in Mexico.
Mexico.
Nick Swimmer.
I'm about to go back there soon.
Dennis Rodriguez. Daniel Cormier. The Talking Talker podcast, which, by the way, was mentioned 6 or 7 times during the build-up to UFC 216 in interviews that I've been doing, just dropping Talking Talker podcast. And a name that initially I was a little bit like, I don't know. This just might not work, but now I have taken full credit for it since people seem to like it. Now, I have completely taken credit for the name of the podcast, even though I played no real part in it. I have completely
That's not surprising.
Credit for it.
Not surprising.
What?
Not surprising at all.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Is that one of my moves?
Well, that's dat, what is was DC? Dat cheap?
Dat cheap.
Yeah. It's a dat cheap. It's dat cheap's move.
Why are you guys calling me
dat cheap gear?
Why? Why are you calling me dat cheap?
Last podcast, you said you were dat cheap.
Well,
you said DC stood for dat cheap when you didn't want to pay for.
I never. Some,
oh, the chicken and rice somewhere.
No. It was the Swedish meatballs.
Swedish meatballs
with my boss.
Close.
I never want to pay for anything.
Can you never? And let's never do that voice again either.
Never want to pay. It's like you guys, like, we do this at night now, so it's almost like I feel like, welcome to the Sweat Hotel.
Yeah, Talking Talker after dark.
Daniel Cormier, Talking Talker after dark. Dennis, hit some R&B music real quick.
Are you going to go with us next time we go to Mexico or what?
Man, I'm going.
All right, because we have a date plan.
Actually,
we have a trip plan, and you said you were going. It's on the table.
I'm not. I gotta stop blue balling you, because that's all I'm doing is blue balling you. I ain't going to Mexico.
Dude.
Just to be honest, I'm scared, man. I don't like to go anywhere. I've gotten some offers to do a lot of things around the world, and I don't do it because I'm too afraid. In the off chance that something does happen, I ain't going.
Dude, I want a chance to see Daisei.
What's that?
Daisei, isn't that DC in Spanish?
Oh man, look, I'm getting FaceTimed by some random person. Hold on.
Should answer it.
Can you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Hold on.
They're probably the IRS. They're gonna come get you tonight unless you pay.
I'm podcasting, Crutchmer, man. You can't just be on every show. Hey, Kyle Crutchmer's pod. He's calling me in while we're on the podcast.
Did you tell him you called him a random person?
Crutchmer, we already put you on one time. We can't just have you on every week, dog. That just don't work.
I just was calling to say what's up. Tell everybody. Did you tell everybody that I broke you?
No. Fuck off. I gotta go. He's an idiot.
What did he break?
Well, so this kid just like joined the team, right? And he's very needy, some would say. And he said that he's going to be needy to the point that he breaks me. Like, where I'm gonna break and just give up and go, I can't handle crowd. And today he about pushed me to the edge. He had me, Nick. I was like, if you want to leave, you can fucking leave. If you want, I was like, I just lost it.
Well, I lost it. Well, give us a little background. Like, how was he being needy?
He kind of agreed to some things. He's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. He's a bit of an emotional guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what makes him good and who he is, because he really takes to stuff. But at times it can be a little bit hard for me to deal with. So he is on this mission to break me, like where he legitimately took me to the edge today. And then he goes, I knew I'd break you. I told you. And now I got to reel it back in. Like, no, you didn't break me, but I was breaking, boys. I was on the edge. I was about to fucking go, like, just start yelling and screaming into the damn telephone. It was bad.
Have you terrorized him in the showers yet?
All the time. Bow, chicka, wow, wow. Every time.
Are you still dreaded in the showers, or did you mellow
Everybody.
Out?
Everybody. I got a new move, man.
So if they wash their
hair, no one can close
their eyes when they're washing their hair, right?
Here it is. So, all right. So I like to mess with guys. Like, we're in the shower, and
let's just take that last sentence. Let's just keep playing it on loop.
No, shut up. Shut up. Listen, you want the story or not?
Yes.
So, here in the shower, and I just walk past these dudes, just smack them on the ass, right? Because it's the most uncomfortable thing that could happen to you in the shower. So then they got real smart on me. They would never wash their hair or anything while I was in the shower. So I'd walk in there and bounce, chicka, wow, wow. And dudes would start turning around, and I get the shower, and I shower in peace because everybody's trying to stay away from me. Well, they got so smart that I can't deal with them anymore. So now I got a new move. I take my loofah and I wash it up and it gets all lathered up, right? So I walk up to these dudes with my loofah and I squeeze it and get a whole bunch of soap in my hand and I smack them in the eyes, right? So when the hands go up to grab their eyes,
so mean.
Slap them on their ass. So you've got like, now you've got a choice to make, right?
But you get smacked in the eyes and then smacked in the ass.
So now you got a choice to make. The worst was Bob, right? So Bob's in there one day and he hears me coming in. He's like, ah, fuck. Hey, Bunch, Deshaun Bunch yells, watch your eyes. Like every time I walk in the shower, he starts going, you better watch your eyes. So then I smack Bob in the head with the soap, right? So now Bob's got to make a decision. Let your eyes burn and cover your butt or just fucking. So Bob's like trying not to wipe his eyes because he knows what's coming next. So then it's like burning. So now he's like rubbing his eyes. Ah, fuck. Then I smack him on the ass. He covers his ass. And I'm like, he just did it like 4 or 5 times. Finally, he just hurry up and washes the soap out. It's the funniest shit ever. But then they can't do it to me. The moment they start doing it to me, I just freak out. So yeah, that's my new move. I had to get creative. Dennis will be in the shower. I just smack him in the face with soap.
I wear a scuba mask when I shower.
It's horrible, boy.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Oh, okay. That was fun and uncomfortable.
I'm going to go home.
Same time.
Oh, yeah, but next time my wife takes a shower, she's in big trouble.
Get it, Nick. Dude, please do it, Nick.
What the fuck are you doing?
She's going to be so mad because she'd be like, do I need to wipe the soap from my eyes or cover my ass? Because, dude, the soap, like, burns like shit. That's crazy, right?
I don't know. I think the loofah picture was worse for me. Oh. Hey, speaking of which, do you guys have to use defense soap after you practice? After we saw the thing this weekend.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, what the fuck is that? And then Joe Rogan started talking about it and I'm like, dude.
So we're on air, right? And Rogan goes, is that staff? And somebody in my ear, I don't know who it is, go, don't say nothing. And I was like, what the hell I was like, do I address this or do I not say anything, right? So I'm like, it is. I couldn't help myself. I go, it is staff. Because it's big and red.
Yeah.
Raised up. And so, from the moment he took his shirt off and we saw that, I go, this dude's in a lot of trouble. So staff fucks with your cardio bad.
So to get to that point, like where it's visible and puffy and pretty big, it means it's like pretty, it's pretty bad already.
That shit's advanced. Now the issue is, the issue is, you can take antibiotics to get better. But again, antibiotics, that's the devil when you're getting ready for a fight because, once again, it fucks with your cardio. So you don't really have, like, much of an option in terms of feeling better when you have staff.
Hold on. The podcast is skipping again. Dennis, can you get DC's mic? It's skipping. There we go. Good. Are you
what
back?
Happened?
All right. Oh, you were just skipping again. Your mic, I think.
Oh, no, I do that. Sometimes I drift off. For you to get better, you have to take antibiotics, and it affects everything, right, Nick? It affects the weight cut. It affects the fight. It affects the training. It affects everything, man. And then
So how does it get really bad, though? It looks like a pimple, right?
Yeah, but like, once you got it, you got to get on antibiotics right away.
So what happens? Like a guy sees the pimple and he just kind of ignores it or doesn't notice it, and then it gets worse? How does it get to be bad?
It's different situations, right? So in training, you go, oh, my goodness, what is this? Might be staph. You stop, you get on antibiotics, and you get better. When you're a week from the biggest fight of your career, you go, oh, shit, this is staph, but I got to keep training. Right? You don't have the option to just shut it down. And everything affects it. Like with staph, Everything makes it worse. You get stressed, worse. You train too hard, worse. You start to cut weight, it gets worse. Everything gets worse whenever you you can't do anything about it. But again, you can't really take the antibiotics because it messes you up. Even Luke Rockhold, when he fought Chris Weidman a while back, he had staph and he took the antibiotics, and by third round he was completely gassed.
Yeah.
But we're just lucky he got him out of there in the fourth because he was completely done because of the antibiotics.
So how far ahead of a fight, how long do you need for the antibiotics to get in and get out?
It doesn't necessarily have to get in and get out. You got to be completely shut down for at least a week for it to start getting better. Oh, then so, you got to ease right. back into it. You can't just go right back into it because the shit just pops right back up. You got to shut it down. And shutting it down that close to a fight like that, for that kid, for Kevin Lee, he had no option because he could not fight.
Yeah.
So, and you saw it. I mean, between the second and third round, he told his corner, he goes, "I'm just so tired."
Yeah.
He goes, "I'm just so tired." So, it's sad because he didn't get a fair shake, but the reality is Tony Ferguson was on his game. It was just getting worse, right? So Tony was just getting better as the fight was going on.
What'd you think of the fight?
I thought it was a good fight. You know, I enjoy being next to the octagon for those fights, right? Because beginning of the night, you know, it's pretty empty, especially last weekend. I don't know if you saw it on TV, if it came across on TV, but the entire top level on both sides were completely covered in curtain.
On TV it looked like the lower bowl was actually pretty full, and then the upper bowl you could just you couldn't really see, but you could tell there weren't people up there.
Yeah, there were one section in the upper bowl was pretty full, and that was like the section right behind like one of the corner sections, right? Like one of those sections that looked straight into the octagon had people in it, but everything else was covered in black curtain because, you know, you can't expect after a week like that, because people buy tickets late, right? Like a lot of times the fights will be 75% sold, 80% sold up into fight weekend, and in fight week people come and they buy their tickets.
Yeah.
Well, you can't expect after the week in Vegas for people to say, you know what, I really want to go watch these fights. I'm going to buy tickets this week. It was a tough ask, and it showed.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely a tough situation to have to put up.
I mean, I was surprised, though. Like, when I got off the airplane, you know, you're kind of expecting all-around sadness, right? Like you and I felt last week. We were just mad and disappointed and just, like, at a loss almost. It was almost like you said, you were like, let's just get out of here, Gabby. Let's just go. You know, but it's like, where are you gonna really go live where your boy can have the quality of life that he has in the U.S.?
Yeah.
So, but then, like, we were kind of shut down, right? So, like, the first, we were shut down. That city didn't shut down, man. When I got there on Thursday, it seemed like it was leading into a normal Vegas weekend, honestly. People flying in, airport completely packed. The strip completely packed, people walking. By Saturday, it was just like a normal Vegas night, man. You just saw people everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that people are able to keep, you know, continue doing their best to get back to normal.
Well, I think it showed a lot about the city, you know?
Yeah.
City came together, stayed strong. Because we go to Vegas to escape, right?
Yeah.
We go to escape to these places like Las Vegas and Vegas showed last weekend how strong a community they have because they were uplifting each other and uplifting people. You know, like it was crazy, man. It was crazy to see that the city we go to escape turn into a place that we can look to for strength because they showed how strong the Vegas community is.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear because you obviously worry about everyone there and how they'll be able to get back.
But
to it. We got
to the fights. Tony Ferguson's a stud, right?
He is. I can't. I mean, like, it's just, it's a trip when you're watching because he's so calm to the point of you're sitting there going, you know, even if you're not rooting for one or the other, you're kind of sitting there going, dude, you're going to get hit. What are you doing? What are you putting, you know? And he's just so, I mean, just seems so relaxed and has his hands down and just like, oh, I've got it. You know, I'm probably going to, you know, I'm just going to chill out until we get through a couple of rounds here and then I'm going to try some weird shit and then we'll see what happens. It's just, it's bizarre.
So I think he's really good. I think his cardio and his pace are fantastic.
Yeah.
I believe that he makes some mistakes that would really cost him against Connor.
With leaving his chin out, you guys kept talking about.
Oh, my goodness. Do you see how high he's hanging his chin up whenever he's throwing punches?
Yeah.
You do that against McGregor, you're getting sniped. You're getting sniped. And, I mean, when Connor hits you with a clean shot, it doesn't affect people like most people's big shots affect people. It sends you fucking skating on ice. It turns you into a baby deer. What's a baby deer called? Like when they're fucking right out, they can't stand up. They're like shaking and shit. That's what a fucking straight left from Connor does to people. Turns you into a fucking doe. I'm serious. Like your legs just go, dude. And you just can't let him hit you like that. And I think because of the way Tony fights, he kind of hangs his chin up there and it'll make it very dangerous for him because McGregor's like so accurate and so fast. And
who have you fought where you just noticed the hands were a little heavier than, or even sparred with, you noticed the hands are heavier than normal?
God, man, you know, generally guys punching me, I don't feel it. I could tell that Dan Henderson punched pretty hard when we were in close. But the only time that I've been hit where I was like, oh man, this dude has some real power, was Rico Verhoeven. Rico Verhoeven's a K-1 champion heavyweight. And he hit me, and I was like, oh, my Lord, what the hell? I was like, I cannot stay in that range with this dude at all. And it's crazy because in kickboxing, he doesn't have that many knockouts. But he's just so much bigger than I am and so much more skilled technically. And every time he hit me, I was like, oh, my goodness, what the hell is that?
If you have is there any kind of correlation? Like, people that have heavy hands, do they usually punch, like, slower, but it's just heavier versus like fast and it feels like, you know, not as heavy? Or
they
no.
said speed equals power, right? So the faster you are, the better. Like McGregor's fucking fast.
Yeah.
Connor's fast. So just that in itself kind of is the exception to the rule, you know? Like Mike Tyson was fast. He was really fast, you know? So Yeah, he was really fast too.
Hold on, I think Dennis.
No, I know.
I think Dennis spilled something. You gotta pause for a second.
Okay. Let's pause.
Here we go. I cleaned up all the water. All
right, Dennis cleaned up his spill. That's like three episodes in a row where he spilled all over himself. So Dennis
spilled the wine.
Dennis wants to know who's got pillow hands. Who's got the softest hands that think they hit hard? At AKA.
Me.
Come on. So give us something.
When I first started, I would punch and just keep breaking my hands all the time. Nick, you remember that in the beginning? I broke my hands like four times in a year. And it was because I knocked out Bigfoot and I started like acting as though I could just knock everybody out. When, even in sparring, I tell Luke, I was like, I don't even have to hit you hard. All I got to do is really like blow on you and my fucking power is so fucking enormous. You're going to sleep. But I just kept breaking my fucking hands over and over again. I'd break my hands.
Why were they breaking? Because they were just
frail. Like I had frail hands. Like I.
And then what happened?
Maybe I was punching wrong. I don't know.
They got stronger.
It was like certain guys just have hands that break.
How'd they stop breaking?
I had surgery. Stuck a rod in there. Mm. Stuck a rod in there.
Was it always the same place?
To keep them together.
Was the same place that kept breaking?
Yeah, I kept breaking in the same place, right over my very last finger. Next to my thumb, it just kept breaking and breaking and breaking.
So
I put a rod in there, and it hasn't broken since.
I got one of those Bob, you know, those Bob heavy bags, the heavy bag that looks like a little bald guy.
Yeah.
I've been pummeling that guy. Thank God he's soft. these hands will be broken.
You have three of them, though.
Yeah, I got three of them in case I fuck with the first one up too bad. I got two. I got two more in boxes ready for when the first guy can't hack it.
I'm kind of confident that you're not gonna fuck up a heavy bag.
Dude, I hit it the other day. The screws started popping off the back.
You're hitting that hard, huh?
Oh yeah. Either that or I didn't screw the screws in properly.
Dennis, did you do it yourself? Because if you did it yourself, that shit don't work right.
Yeah, I probably put them in and then couldn't find a screwdriver, so never actually tightened them. Dennis is coming over on, what is it, Saturday?
Saturday.
Yeah. I got this garage workout going with Bob the dummy, and Dennis is going to come try it. It's pretty solid, I think.
What do you have in your garage?
I got mats, dumbbells, medicine balls, Stroops, and Bob.
So in my garage, I have wrestling mats. I got the walls padded. I got two aerodynes, a battle rope, a heavy bag, and some dumbbells and stuff. But those just kind of go up on the ledge because I don't use them much. But it's mainly for my son to wrestle in. But when I'm in getting ready for a fight, if I don't feel like driving to the gym, I just have my boxing coach come, and I hit my pads. I do all my pummeling and wrestling all in my garage, and it gets hot. Because it's not a big garage, so we'll put the heat on. I got two, like, heaters that I can get that shit up to, like, 90 in there. It's great.
I found this app where you put in, like, you set the intervals, and then you type in, like, the names of what you want to do, like box or sit-ups or push-ups or whatever, and this woman says, so it'll be, like, you'll hear a little buzzer or, like, the stick's hitting, and then it'll be, like, box. So you just set it so near the end of the workout, it just keeps saying burpees, and you're like, fuck, I don't even need any fucking burpees. But just because this woman's yelling at you in the app going, burpees. The only funny thing is when you got to do push-ups, she can't pronounce it, so she says push-ups. So I spend the first 5 seconds laughing on the push-ups. But
I'm excited, though.
Did you guys see that video of me fighting with that stupid fucking audio cord?
Yes.
Did you see
that? That was pretty good.
What was that all about? Fucking stupid cord.
Hold on one sec. What do I do here?
It's...
We got someone calling in. Do I just hit it? Click it?
Should just come in.
Bob, you there?
Yep. I'm here.
Is this Bob Cook, Shower Bob, or is this the punching dummy I've been beating the shit out of in my garage? Why is that thing called Bob?
Probably all the above.
Why is the punching dummy, which actually is kind of looks like a bald white guy like you, why is it called Bob?
I have no idea.
You know what I'm talking about?
Have you seen one of those, Bob?
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's an unfortunate turn of events.
Could we call him Robert? Because instead of Bob, since we've been talking about Bob the punching bag.
I think Cassandra named it.
So,
Bob, DC was telling some stories here.
You got called for a reason.
Yeah, you
got
to defend yourself. All we're picturing is you going from your eyes to your butt with your hands trying to cover everything.
Let me just—I mean, I don't know how much is appropriate to talk on this show, but
I think we're fine with whatever.
You know, when DZ walks into the shower room in the gym, the guys scatter like cockroaches when they turn the light on. Everybody just runs.
But like every day for years, it's been like this. Since his first day, he just walked in there.
It's gotten progressively worse. I mean, because, you know, I think it just kind of started out, you know, I think as them just kind of having fun. And then it got kind of known for it. And now, so he's got like an obligation as soon as he walks into the shower room.
Bob, would you walk them through the events that happened on on April 23rd, 2017?
What the hell?
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm not good about dates, but I'm just assuming I'll talk about the incident. So, over the years of this, you know, I kind of get pretty sly. I keep an eye on him, and, you know, I don't turn my back. I don't wash my face with soap, all those kind of things. So I think I got myself kind of squared away.
I've gotten creative on him, though.
Comes up with a new strategy. So he's got his like loofah thing that he like developed a lot of suds with. So first he fills his hand full of suds, and then like he sneaks up and smacks me right in the face with a handful of suds in the right guy.
And what's your immediate reaction? Are you laughing or are you pissed?
He knows. He knows what comes
next. No, I mean, I'm like, I'm like trying to run, squirm, and like wash my face off with suds all at the same time, and like trying to block what I'm assuming is going to happen the best I can.
Now wait, we need to set the scene. Is this like one big room with a bunch of shower heads? Is it little stalls with like curtains?
Yeah, it's one big room with a bunch of shower heads. With a bunch of naked guys for the most part.
Yeah, is there safety in numbers? I mean, you don't want to be the only guy in there when he comes in.
But
if the whole place is full?
There is not safety in numbers.
Like when he's getting you, why doesn't someone else get him?
Because nobody else wants to do that.
That's true.
Bob, but what do you hear before whenever I walk in from Bunch? What does Bunch say?
Well, I mean,
Watch your eyes. He goes, watch your eyes.
Yeah, and you know, usually DC kind of walks in kind of singing his own little porn song as he walks in the room, just to kind of set the mood. It's all bad.
Yeah, it sounds horrific.
Nick, yep. Next time you do the bike, we're definitely taking a fucking shower together.
Pretty much guarantees I'm not doing the bike. I think Dennis goes from OJ and Tuna to fucking showering at AKA.
That's the next. That's the next thing for Dennis, right? Next, we'll do a podcast. We'll do a podcast at the gym, and then
in the shower.
Out, and then Dennis takes a shower.
Yeah.
What are his chances of not getting?
You just need to have like a camera set up. I mean, of course, you know, it's going to be everything's going to be half blurred out on the camera. But it'll just be like the camera set up and like DC walking into the shower room and you get the reaction.
Bro, it's literally just shower tricks, man, that we used to do when we were in college. Just mess with guys. You know?
So how long have you been doing this for? I mean, you've been doing this ever since you were at AKA, ever since you were in college. I mean, this is
When I went to Oklahoma State, people would do it to me all the time, like just mess with me.
All right, that makes more sense. Like, oh, so it's cool. Revenge. It's still revenge.
It's still revenge. Yeah, it happened to me a lot. So one time I'm like kind of messing around with this one guy, and I go, man, what the hell? I was like, that's a story I'm not going to tell, actually. One I need to keep off air because listen, so here's the deal with the podcast, right? It's so laid back, and we enjoy talking to each other that you got to be very careful. And last week, that happened to me with the Rumble thing, right? So, like, we're just talking. And I'm like, you know, you really fucking pissed me off and then didn't realize here comes the MMA websites. People actually listen to it. And then next thing you know, there's articles all over the place. Then Rumble and I are arguing, and it took on a life of its own. So I am going to refrain from telling that story. It was funny. It's very funny. But...
Well, the good news is I think you should, but this week you're just going to be pictures of you and Bob in the shower.
You got to omit all the names.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And that's
it's like
problem.
This big Mexican guy.
It wasn't Kane.
No,
it was not Kane. It was someone else. Don't fucking say Kane. Kane is still coming there and beat my ass. Don't fucking try to like sell me up the river.
Do you mess with Kane in the shower?
All the fucking time.
What does he
all do? All the fucking time. He just kind of looks at me really, really mad. Like he's not stupid enough to wash his face. He's not dumb enough to actually wash his face, but he just like stares at me the whole time with the meanest fucking look ever. Just like, if you fucking do this, just know I'm gonna fucking kill you. And then I'll do some shit and then run away, you know, because I know he's gonna come to try to fucking kill me. Look. When you get Kane with a good punch, he loses his mind and tries to fucking rip your head off. Imagine me grabbing him by the ass or something.
That's true. Bob, what are some, along the lines of this, what are some good stories of when these guys all lived with you?
Oh, come on.
Did we lose Bob?
I don't even know where to start on that.
Nope. Again, these stories stay on Forest Street. Hey, we always say this, like, so we take pictures, me, Bob, Cassandra. It was before UFC 200. I'm about to fight on the biggest fight card of all time. Cassandra puts up a picture of me, her, and Luke, and Bob. And at the end of it, she said, sometimes you got to just live on Forest Street to reach the mountaintop. And it just meant, it was perfect because I don't know if you've ever been to the house on Forest Street, Nick. It was small. it was burned down all the way, and Bob like rebuilt the mug. I mean, at one point, bro, it was me upstairs in the room, Bob and Cassandra across the hallway, down on the bottom of the stairs in like a little nook was Phil Davis. On the couch was LeVar Johnson. In the back room was Luke Rockhold and Justin Wilt. In the garage was Luke Rockhold, where his bed was on some crates and the ground was dirt, was Luke Rockhold. Another room had Justin Wilcox. Like, it was 6 or 7 of us in there at one time, bro, with a heater that Bob wouldn't put on, so it was like freaking cold as shit. And then when he would put it on, that thing would start going gong, 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 gong. I was like, oh my God, tonight's the night this motherfucker blows, because it sounded like the heater was about to just explode.
It did make a lot of racket.
Yeah. Was there
the house, I think, was built in like 1928 or something, so I think the heater was original.
Was there chores and shit? Like, does Bob say, hey guys, if you want to stay here, here's what you got to do. You got to help clean.
Never.
Or you got to do anything?
Cassandra would yell at us. Like, Cassandra would. But Bob was just kind of chilling, man. Like, we just kind of did our own thing. Like, right? So, like, I stayed to myself. Like, I was there for a long time, right? I was there from September till come full time with Bob from September till, man, almost a year, because I didn't move until Selena and I moved the following August in 2010. So I was there for almost a year. Luke was there for what? Luke was there for a while. And Luke even went to the new house that Bob bought in Hollister for a little bit. So we were all like in and out, man. But
didn't
I was there for a while.
A,
Luke was there for a while.
Didn't you stay with Koshek in a townhouse somewhere for a while?
That was Bob's apartment too. Bobby Cassandra's apartment first. Me and Koshek stayed in there for like, I only stayed there for what, 3 weeks though, Bob? It wasn't long.
Yeah, because we moved from there to the other house.
Yeah, when they moved, I went with them and took Bob's car. I drove this black Mercury Marauder around everywhere. Put like 100,000 miles on that thing chasing Selena for 1 year. Back and forth to Fresno I went. Like sometimes 2-3 times a week to meet my fucking girl. It's crazy.
Hey Bob, when you were fighting, where were you living and staying and all that? What was that like?
I was living in up by Bass Lake, which is it was like a full 3 hours from San Jose.
And you went back and forth every day?
I'd probably go back and forth like 3 times a week, but like I would be working, so like I might have been working an hour further up in the mountains or something than have to drive down.
That's why he got the nickname Crazy Bob, because Bob would like cut trees, those big ass trees, all day and then drive to San Jose and train at night. That's why he started calling him Crazy Bob. Those tree cutters, that's got to be one of the most dangerous jobs in the entire world.
Timber faller.
Wait, how'd you end up in San Jose? Because wouldn't you have been closer to like Sacramento? Wasn't there a camp up there? There was camps up there too, right?
Well, originally, I was going to the Lion's Den, and I was training with the Lion's Den guys, and then Frank was there, and I met up with him and stuff, and was training with him, and then Frank started training over in San Jose. Then I was going to Lodi, where the Lion's Den was, and San Jose, and then the Lion's Den moved down to San Diego. And they all bailed, so then I just switched over strictly to San Jose.
So, Nick, you want to know where Bob lived when he first started the management company?
Where?
Porn shop.
A porn shop?
Seriously, porn shop. Bob lived in a porn warehouse. Really?
How'd that happen, Bob?
Well,
every story starts with,
I was living up in the mountains, but then when I would come down here... A friend of mine had this warehouse, and there was offices in the warehouse. So we subleased the offices from him.
It's like a fucking Sons of Anarchy episode. He's going from Lodi to a port. That's basically what they did on Sons of Anarchy. You're the inspiration.
So in this warehouse, there was like all these racks and like pallets. So like you could take a forklift and put them up. So there was just like pallets and pallets full of porn. And then there was also hydroponics supplies and nutrients and a big giant mixing tank. And then the offices, which myself, Josh Thompson, Paul Buonocello, Rich Kunkleton, Pat Minahan, we all lived in the offices.
Fuck.
That's crazy.
Life was tough in San Jose, man. You know what I do miss, though? Nick, do you remember the old gym on Hillsdale? The old, old gym?
Yeah.
You know what I do miss, Bob, about Hillsdale was that we all trained in the same room. And also, like, it was nice that we were all in the same room. We had the ring in the same room. We could see each other. But you know what was probably the best part of the old Hillsdale gym was, and maybe this was because I had just moved to California, so I wasn't used to the really nice weather. But when you worked out on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you did the bike. But on Tuesday, Thursday, you would hit pads, and then you did your runs. Well, as you ran out of there, you would run by that smoke shop and by that little Chinese restaurant, Bob. But then you took a right, and there was this beautiful park right behind the gym. Remember that park?
Yep.
And if you ran around the park three times, it was a mile. And it was like, it was great because they always had people playing soccer. They had like a little dog park. They had, it was just like, for me, it was so different because it wasn't like anything I had ever seen, you know? I kind of missed the old gym, honestly.
That was a good place to to visit.
I like the open thing, which was big for me, because then, you know, I think it was a little more camaraderie that way, because then if any action was like happening, everybody would kind of gravitate towards whatever the action was, and everybody kind of felt more like a part of it.
Yeah, when you visited, it was awesome because you just walked in and all of a sudden everything's right there. You could say what's up to everyone. You didn't have to like. The other one, you just kind of stand in the hallway and kind of peek your head in a little bit.
Well, you walk to the right at the old gym, remember, and it was the weight room. They had those weights to the right.
Yeah.
And on the left-hand side, you had the main grappling and sparring room, the ring, and the bags. And then in the very back, there was a tiny little bike room. Remember how small our bike? We fit about 2-3 bikes in there?
It was really small.
We've got like 10 bikes in there now in that room we have. I mean, it's always good to, you know, to advance, but I feel like the team then, if there were 20 of us on there, we were all 20 teammates and friends, whereas right now, I think you have pockets of friendships, not everybody.
So it's
I don't like that. That kind of sucks a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to hear. It doesn't sound like there's any bullies at the gym that just mess with everyone in the showers and, you know. But fear.
Oh,
sounds like a real welcoming place.
It's just a little different, you know. And you know what it is, though, man. A lot of times, guys now are having a lot of success, right? So there are a lot of people with success, and a lot of people do things on their own, kind of, you know, like have their own strength and conditioning coach and their own this coach. So we everything isn't just kind of like. And I think maybe because we just didn't know any better. And honestly, I'm part of the reason that is like that, because you remember, Bob, like I started bringing in coaches. I started bringing in a strength coach and all that stuff, you know, whereas before we used to kind of just do everything on our own.
You guys should do a bay cruise in Bob's boat. Do a little fishing while you're out there.
Makes me sick.
I saw Thompson posted a tweet where he was on a sailboat, and he said,
but was he really, though?
He said, next stop,
was
Mexico.
Was he really, Bob?
I thought Bob, I'm like, fuck, Bob's taking Thompson to Mexico.
Man.
Was that your boat?
That wasn't my boat. That wasn't the bay. My boat's down south.
You can't always believe what your eyes tell you you're seeing when it comes to Josh at times. That's something that we've learned in all the years. Like, when did he go fucking sailing?
I think he said next stop Mexico, and then like 3 hours later he posted that he, you know, from somewhere like inside a restaurant somewhere.
Really? Well, maybe the motherfucker did go to Mexico. I don't know.
We haven't had Cassandra back on Ask Cassandra in a while.
Oh, it was so good. We got to get her back on next week. Bob, she killed it.
She's in the other room, so you guys let me know if I need to yell.
No, we don't want her because we don't have questions for her.
I got some questions, Bob, about what everyone was living there. I mean, maybe we just keep going with this theme this week.
Bob, she's out of her mind. No, man. You know, Nick, you know what's sad about that, though?
Huh.
It's like you want to talk about when we lived at Bob's house, but you don't want to talk about fucking Demetrius Johnson.
I do want to talk about Demetrius Johnson.
Fuck when we lived at Bob's. Let's talk about the greatest of all time.
Yeah, that.
Let's.
You know what? You know what? You know what actually sucked. I was watching it on UFC Fight Pass on the through the whatever it is, the Kindle Fire Stick thing, and it kept freezing. So, but the audio would stay perfect, but every 30 seconds or so, the picture would freeze for 10 seconds. So, like, during the whatever the fight before was, it would freeze and they'd talk, but nothing actually happened. Well, the Mighty Mouse one, it, like, right when it froze, you just heard, oh, shit, oh, my God, oh, what the fuck, oh, shit. Oh, and you're like, it said, he said something, and then he said, Borg is a savage. And I thought, oh, shit. Like, I was actually watching with my dad, and my dad's all confused, like, what the hell? I'm like, because he said Borg is a savage, I think, because, you know, it turned out because his arm was getting bent around so much, and he was still trying to fight it.
And he was still trying not to tap.
But I thought, like, holy shit, the fucking screen froze, and Borg did something crazy, and he won. And then,
You probably
and then
like,
it goes away. It goes away, and they got Mighty Mouse standing there, like, you know, walking around the cage. And I'm like, what the fuck just happens? I had to wait for the replay. Yeah, it drove me crazy. You're just literally sitting there going, "Don't freeze, don't freeze, don't freeze." And then when it would come back, it would freeze. The screen would freeze, but the audio would continue. And then when it came back, it looked like someone pushed the fast forward button real quick until it caught up to where it was supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah, it does that on those all the time.
God, it was like the worst timing ever. This is the greatest move ever.
It's like, I'm not gonna act like I work for the UFC and say that's a real bad fire stick issue. It's a fire stick thing.
Oh yeah, my dad kept saying I think it's Comcast. I'm like, if it's Comcast, they wouldn't be fast forwarding to catch up when it was done.
Bro, so he's like, you're sitting there listening, going, I am missing the greatest sequence in MMA history by the way those guys are reacting, right?
And I don't think, we should try it right now. I don't think if I just grabbed a big fucking pillow that I could do that. I don't think I could pick it up off the ground and land on top of it with, like, my leg
Bob,
over it.
Bob, did you see that, Bob?
I saw the highlight of the finish, yeah.
I mean, how crazy was that?
Has anyone ever done that at the gym?
That was pretty slick. I've never seen anybody go from suplex to armbar.
Nobody's even trying stuff like that, though.
So it's not a move that people try and can't do. It's just a move no one's even thought of.
As I left the arena, an embedded guy runs up to me because they heard us on air going, oh, my God, nobody tries this. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. The guy goes, I swear, DC, he goes, I was in camp for the last 2 weeks. He goes, and he drilled that over and over and over. And he goes, it's unreal that it actually worked in the fight.
Dude, it's unreal that there's a training partner that just keeps getting suplexed in arm. Hey, all right, let's do that again.
But see, he doesn't suplex you, though. He throws you up like he's going to suplex you, but then he almost drops you back down to your butt. Good. And when you hit your butt, you're thinking turn back to your belly or something, but this dude's jumping armbar.
Yeah, no, that was crazy.
But the crazy thing is it makes sense, right? So, like, the way he did it, it makes sense because he throws you down to your side where you're thinking roll back to your belly, but he jumps a fucking armbar.
You guys did a good job in the commentary of pointing out how calm he was. Like, that was one of those fights. Because I think the thing with him is if you watch it, if you were to watch it with no sound, maybe you wouldn't appreciate some of the stuff. But this fight, the whole time, like, my dad was like, my dad doesn't really watch UFC that much, right? He just watches it with me. He's probably watched it, I don't know, half a dozen times and usually falls asleep. He was like so confused that it wasn't the main event. He's like, why isn't that guy the main event? He's the greatest fighter that's ever been. I'm like,
yeah.
And so, you know, he got to watch. You hear the commentary, which changes everything all of a sudden because it's like, oh, look, you know, he points out the things that I wouldn't notice. Like, oh, look at how he has got himself between the cage and the guy so the guy can't do this, or oh, look at this. Look how calm he is. And you look at him and you're like, fuck, he is really calm. And then all of a sudden he does that. It's just like, it just needs, that commentary will help, probably help anyone that watched that isn't used to watching it. No one watched that fight, and he did the spectacular move, obviously. But with the buildup and the commentary, that's always the challenge with a lot of stuff, right? Like, especially when these fights go to the ground and if the commentary is not building up the suspense of, like, dude, you don't know what a dangerous position this guy's in right now. Like, even if you guys just start, he's going for the arm, going for the arm. You're sitting there like, oh, fuck, he's going for the arm. Even if you're watching, going, I don't know what the fuck's going on. But it builds up the suspense, which is like, so you guys did a really good job of that. But, yeah, he's fucking nuts.
The greatest thing was after that fight, I looked at Rogan and I go, dude, there's more. He goes, there's fucking more. Like, this is, it's not even over. Like, you're on this high. You're on this, like, crazy high after watching DJ put on the performance of a lifetime, man. Like, bro, Ray Borg landed 19, 20 punches, I think, over the course of 5 rounds. Yeah. I can punch Bob 20 times just in the clinch. Like, when we're close in the clinch, I punch him with my hand. That's a strike. Ray Borg landed 20 of those. I mean, I kept asking Rogan and John. I go, all right, boys. Like, I don't want to, as respectful as I can be to Ray Borg, like, we have got to be approaching, we've got to be approaching some sort of record for least amount of strikes landed over 25 minutes. Right, Bob? 20?
I mean, it's different with those little guys, though, because they're just so much more active, you know. You know, you just don't get heavyweights, like, doing that kind of stuff.
Bob, who's got the heaviest hands in the gym when you're sparring with them? Who do you spar with where you're like, I don't want to get fucking hit by them? Or is it just
I mean, there's a lot of guys I freaking these days, I'm like, forget it. Luke is definitely, for his size, being that he's not a heavyweight or whatever, he's definitely one of the harder hitting guys in the gym.
He can punch.
How often do you get it? Like a
DC? Huh? DC can punch when he wants to.
I heard. Yeah. We were just talking about that. He said he had a period where he thought he was Mike Tyson, and he kept breaking his hand, and warning everyone, like, stay away from these.
That
hands.
Was after I knocked out Bigfoot.
Well, and you knocked that other guy out too, which are good. That was a good one.
Who?
I think you were scared of him because he was so big.
Who?
In Fresno.
Oh yeah, John Devine. Yeah, he used to knock everybody out.
He fell like a tree.
I was like the king of knockouts. I'd be like, Luke, I would take my two fingers, right? Like, and I'd be like, I'd blow. I'd be like, that's all it takes. And then I punched Luke and broke my hand against Bigfoot. Then I broke my hand against Josh Barnett, and I broke it again in practice. Finally, we were like, dude, you got to get your hand fixed. And from that point on, I wouldn't punch as hard. Now, last fight against Jones, I was punching hard. I was swinging with everything I had every time I swung. But that dude's got a good chin.
So Bob gets in there a little more than most coaches, right? Or no?
Or yeah, he does.
I don't know if he's slowed down a little bit because he's been hurt.
He's been hurt lately, so he hasn't really been able to spar. But yeah, Bob still gets in there and spars. He doesn't like going me and Kane because we're big and we wrestle him the whole time, so it makes him tired.
But Bob looked like he's gotten in pretty good shape lately.
He had. Bob, remember when we were getting ready for the fight, how you got super skinny? Bob got all skinny one time.
Well, no, I mean, for your last fight, I tried to get in some shape because at your beginning of your camp, you had, like, no sparring partners.
Yeah, it was rough. And we were doing some real long bikes, right, Nick? So before the bikes are 30 minutes, well, because I knew cardio was going to be the biggest factor, we moved my bikes up to 45 minutes. It's crazy.
So you added rounds or you added time on the bike?
We added both. We just put an extra 15 minutes on top of everything we do.
Sure.
It's crazy. But, yeah, overall, UFC 216 was a phenomenal fight card, man. Walt Harris even, like, taking the Verdum fight on 2 hours' notice was crazy.
Yeah.
But kind of showed that there are levels.
What happened to the original opponent on that?
So he hurt his back.
Back spasms.
So he had back spasms, and Saturday he woke up, he was in trouble. But I guess they didn't tell the UFC. So when they went to pick him up, he was like, I can't even get out of bed. So then he couldn't get up and fight. He was done.
Walt Harris, it seemed like he probably should have just gone nuts in the beginning and just tried to do anything to not get on the ground, right?
Yeah, but you see, like, he probably thought he could fight, right? That's the one thing you don't get with fighters, right? Fighters, you don't get that they think they're in over their heads. Most guys believe they can win, so he went out there to just fight, and Verdum did a good job. But those guys like Verdum, those good grapplers, you've got to extend the fight, right, to where you're sweaty, and it's harder to hold on to you. Walt was out of there in a minute. You know, those guys are completely dry. Fabricio Verdum, he gets you down in a minute and starts going to work. Anybody's going to have problems.
That Italian girl was pretty good.
She was tough.
Yeah.
She tore into the girl that she fought.
Yeah, like
she beat her ass.
The little video before was actually pretty good. It got you thinking, oh shit, this is evenly matched. This is good. And then she just got close to her and just like latched on and never let go.
So Nick, how big a part does those features play, right? The things that play before the fight where it's almost like telling you who the competitors are. Like, how much do you take from that as a fan? a person that, you know.
I think it's a big part. I mean, I don't know if I just haven't paid attention lately or if this one I was just so zoned out that I was watching them all, but it was like, you know, that's my complaint. My complaint is we don't get enough of that. Like, we don't know, which I guess we usually do. I guess I just don't pay attention. I don't know. For some reason, this time I was paying attention. It's like, oh, shit. Like, because sometimes the embeds are too much for me. Like, if it's not someone that I'm, that I know or particularly interested in, I don't usually watch them. I just kind of like skip through it or, you know, watch like a little clip of it. So I think that, like, the more effort they put into that little thing, because I think it was someone said, hey, they did a great job, or maybe you guys said, they did a great job making it look like Harris and Verdum were supposed to fight each other the whole time. I think one of you guys said that on the air.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the more effort and time they put into those things, like, we'll believe anything we fucking see, right? So if it's like, oh, these guys, you know, this guy's pissed at this, I don't know, whatever. This is why it's a good matchup, or this is why we should care. That's what's missing a lot of the time. You're just watching the fight and you're like, I don't care. I mean, I don't care who wins. And if I don't care who wins, then all I'm waiting for is some crazy thing to happen to make me think it was interesting. Because, like, it's like most sports, without suspense or wanting one or the other to win, you know, like soccer or hockey, it's really boring if you don't care who wins. But if you care who wins, it's just so much tension because, you know, one goal changes everything. So I think it's the same with fighting. Now, there's some, obviously, where it's just like, I didn't really care who won with Ferguson or Lee. But it was just interesting to watch, like, the styles and they were, you know, there was enough of, like,
it's the stakes. That was a title fight. You know that there's a couple of great fighters. So you, even though you maybe not were invested in either fighter, you're vested and interested because of the stakes of what's on the line.
And the styles. Like, I think whenever it's like contrasting styles, like, I never understood the thing, like, where they'd give Fitch a hard time. Cause it's like, dude, if they just put as much effort into saying, like, oh, shit, no one can get this guy off him. Oh, he can't get up. He's just smothering him. He can't get up. Or, like, oh, don't let him get near you because as soon as he takes you down, he's just going to hold you down for 5 minutes. Then it makes you think, like, yeah, don't get taken down. Or it makes you think, like, wow, this guy. It doesn't make you think, like, oh, fuck, he's just lying on top. You know, they almost sometimes are like, oh, man, he's just got to advance the moves. He's got to get on. He's got to do it. It's like, no, he should make it sound like this is amazing. No one can stop him from lying on him. How this guy on the bottom cannot fucking get out. He's going to need a miracle to get up. Like, that shit is what I think sometimes it's an injustice to the guy. I mean, sometimes it's, if you turn the sound off, a lot of fights are going to be boring. But if it's the commentator's job to make us realize, like, dude, this is just as insane that nobody can stop this guy from lying on top of him as it is, you know, that someone could swing for the fences. I think that's where. It's like in England, right? So I was born in England. So I always remember when I go to England to visit my grandparents or whatever, I'd just go in the house. They only had 3 channels, so you just watch whatever's on. And I remember like English commentators, you're watching fucking darts. And it's like, oh my gosh, here he goes. Oh, this is, and it's like, holy shit, like this is fucking suspense. Or they show fucking billiards for Christ's sake, and you're like, oh, this girl's incredible. Oh, listen to what they've just talked about her. She has, you know, it's just like, it's the commentator's job to get us to see what we're supposed to see to create the most anticipation and drama and like suspense, right? Like, no one's in there fighting without skill.
No.
So you got to just tell us, what is the skill? What danger is this other person in? And then make us believe that it's like, you know, it matters instead of just, you know, that's the,
you know, and when we spin it forward, McGregor now obviously has to fight one of these guys, or, you know, Khabib's still out there, you know, 25-0, 24-0, you know, which is crazy and a horrible matchup for just about anybody in the division. I watched Tony Ferguson, fight Kevin Lee in the first round and get mounted and taken down as many times as he can. I really worry for him against Khabib because Khabib doesn't get tired. Initially, I thought, wow, this is the toughest match for him. I don't necessarily believe that anymore. But, Nick, I got a question for you. Last week, I saw you on Twitter, and you were going back and forth with people and fans about the soccer team.
Yeah.
And I wasn't quite sure what was going on. What's the Berlin game? What's the name of the team?
Well, we have a team, Berlin Game Dragons, which is an amateur team.
Dragons.
And we applied for a professional team, San Francisco Football Club. We were going to play in the USL. We were trying to play at AT&T Park, which is where the Giants play. So we'd already been accepted by the league. So all we had to do was secure a stadium, either build one. We were looking to build like a 5,000-6,000 seat stadium, soccer specific somewhere, or play at AT&T Park and do a deal with the Giants. So we'd had a couple meetings with the Giants. They were awesome. They were, you know, they said, hey, look, it's the same time of year as baseball. We need to keep a lot of dates open for concerts. But we kind of thought, oh, we'd probably come up to something where we play, like, you know, majority of our games there and we'll have to play somewhere else. And so what happened was it turned out in the end we weren't able to pull it off. So we figured, all right, we've kind of explored, you know, three different places to build a stadium. We've explored playing at AT&T Park, where we would have seemed, I think, like a big deal. And so from that point, I said, let's just withdraw our bid. Let's just scrap it. And then, so I did that. So I figured, well, what's the best way to get this out there? So Dennis and I recorded a quick, like, podcast just explaining, like, hey, here's what we're doing. We're withdrawing our bid. Here's why. We took it step by step through. Here's what we tried to build a stadium. Here's the whole process of trying to start a new franchise and this, that, and the other. And then the second half, we got in more into American soccer, soccer in America, and, you know, what's wrong with it? Because there's a lot of, like, turmoil, like, with the U.S. Soccer Federation, and it's kind of like, are they impartial or are they aligned with some of these leagues, and are they, like, then treating other leagues unfairly? And the rest of the world, you start at a lower level, and you win, right? You can invest in your team, and you can keep getting better, and you can win, and then you go up to the next level, and then you win that league, you go up to the next level. But in America, it's different. You just pay to go up. So the higher you get, the more you pay. Like in the rest of the world, there's a financial incentive. Like, hey, if you spend a bunch of money, get some good players, get a good following, you can go up to the next league. Every step you get, you climb up the ladder, you get more TV money and you get more revenue sharing money. You get all this shit. And then, but in America, you don't. Every time you get higher, it means you have to pay more to join a league. A lot, and usually it's just a hypothetical number. And you have to build a bigger stadium. So it's kind of like, fuck. So we go from, you know, the Dragons, like, to go up to the next league, in the league we were trying to get into, the franchise fee is $5 million. And then the league above that is MLS, and the franchise fee is $150 million, right? So it's like, even in the $5 million league, we're like, wait a minute. So we got to pay $5 million just to get into this league. We don't get any TV money. And then we have to build a stadium to meet that league's requirements. You know, it's just kind of backwards. Like, it stops a lot of people from being like, why would I invest in lower level soccer if I can't continue to go up? It's a complicated thing, but that was kind of where we got into it. But I think it touched a nerve with, you know, people. There's a lot of people that want America to go to the same promotion relegation system that the majority or pretty much all of the rest of the world has. But here it's a little different, right? Because they ask for public money for stadiums, and they can't afford to have teams go down and have paid all this money for stadiums and franchise fees. And so most of the leagues here are more like the league is the business and the teams pay the business to play in that league, where the rest of the world, the league is the governing body and the teams are the companies and the league is just, you know, the structure they play under.
I was just watching and it seemed like you're getting into it. People like trying to explain to them, like, I'm being pretty clear here. And it doesn't seem like you guys are listening, and that can always be very frustrating.
Yeah, there's some
talking to people,
and with anything, right? Every time you try to, you take a chance on doing something, there's people that, well, you know, there's people that are like, you know, kind of like, haha. Like, there's people that are very territorial, right? So teams that like are at the same level as the Dragons, maybe they claim like an area, so they don't like if someone else is like, oh, we're gonna, because the way the league's set up, it's kind of fucked up for everyone, right? So it's like they can't just play their way up into the next level. They have to go find a bunch of money to get their way up. So anyone that comes along and says, oh, I might pay my way up, and especially if it's going to go into a territory that's near them, they get kind of like, you know, you're corporate, you're buying your way up. It's like, hey, this is the rules. You know, anyone could do it. It's just, what are we supposed to do? So you get a little bit of that, like, yeah, you know, we weren't even going to go public with the fact that we were trying to get the team. But all the politics between the leagues, the guy who was the president of the Dragons, he did a podcast, and he was complimentary of a different league. Not really complimentary, just said, oh, there's a lot of opportunity in that other league for teams. I think there's a lot of opportunity for teams to grow beyond where they are. So then the guys in the league we applied to were like, hey, why are you saying nice things about the other league? And so then he went just like scorched earth and just started ripping the shit out of every other team and league. And so then that caused an uproar and everyone was calling him a dickhead. And I had to go be like, well, he was kind of, you were kind of a dickhead in that interview. But so it was entertaining for a week.
Yeah.
But soccer is just super confused. I guess it's a little bit like fighting, right? It's like in sports, you want to be able to win. You want to be able to, if you're a team, you want to know, hey, if I just beat everyone in front of me, there's a path for me to advance. It's the same in the UFC. Mm-hmm. You know, now now the UFC is a little bit like that too, where it's like, hey, you know, it's not, it doesn't matter who you beat. It doesn't matter who you logically should fight next. The difference is in UFC, it's more like someone saying, hey, here's how we're going to do everything. Like, so you can't totally control your own destiny. And the same in soccer, except you can control your own destiny, but only if you give a shitload of money to the right people who basically control your destiny. So it's still that same, you know, the ideal of sports would be great if everyone could just compete and advance and there was no politics. But then again, it's a business because the UFC is owned and these soccer leagues are owned by someone. The UFC is not a governing body. It's a company. And then the soccer leagues are companies too. So it makes it where instead of everything being objective, you get like subjective stuff. So it's a, you know, it's confusing, but
well,
sorry, you weren't expecting that long of an answer, were you?
No,
I think
I was
Bob
just wondering.
Fucking Bob probably dropped off. Bob's like,
Bob's still on. He's just listening.
Yeah. If we have Bob a question, he's gonna...
I'm just about half asleep here. I'm just kind of chilling.
He's chilling now, but hey, but before we go, first off, we want to, like, you know, before we go, I just want to say that, you know, there are big fires right now going on in California, down in Orange County, and then the one in Santa Rosa. We're going to pray for everybody. Hope that you're all safe and hope that people aren't losing too much, you know, because this is a time in an economy where losing a lot.
Earlier today, this is a long time ago, I read that there was 1,500 homes burned.
Yeah,
which,
I mean,
you know,
people losing their homes.
That's hard to even imagine.
And like 10 deaths, I think.
Yeah, you know, they're losing their homes, you know, so, you know, you're in our thoughts and prayers. Rosendo's over there riding a moped, taking footage on his Instagram. You know, he's like the hood news reporter. He's up there reporting live from this place and this place. And some of the videos he's showing, man, it looks like a war zone.
Yeah, it doesn't look real.
It's like a war zone. It's exploded cars and burned down houses to the ground. And it's very odd that these fires are essentially crossing, like, they're like jumping. It's torching homes like on one side of a highway to the next. And I still don't know how that happens.
They said they had 70 mile an hour wind gusts. Because I was wondering the same thing. I'm like, how is this spreading so fast? But they just, the timing with these wind was.
They said the Hilton in Sonoma burned down.
Yeah, they had. I mean, yeah, I was reading just now. They had like a celebrity golf tournament. And they got them all out, and then right after that, there's people apparently waking up. Just like, I mean, it must be so scary. You wake up and your whole neighborhood's on fire. You just kind of jump out. You guys had an earthquake, and did you feel the earthquake today?
I didn't feel it.
There was like a 4.1 earthquake in San Jose this afternoon.
It was happening when my kids' wrestling team was on the track. We're all running, and one of the kids' parents said that they were on their way to practice. Had to turn around, go back and get the daughter from home because daughter's like, oh my goodness, there was an earthquake. Come and get me. So they had to go get the other daughter to bring her to the gym too. So there's a lot of stuff going on, just crazy right now, man. And for everyone that's affected, you know, we're really praying for you guys and we are with you in spirit and know that, you know, you hope that things work out for the better.
Yeah, for sure.
Episode number 10 is in the books. We thank you guys for joining us again. Bob Cook, thank you for coming on and telling us that fantastic, wonderful story.
I wish that was a story that we really wouldn't have got into, but, you know, you already did. So.
Bob, can you do our close for us, Bob? Can you just do, Dennis will get the little music going and you do the, you know, hey, thanks for listening to...
Yeah,
see, Bob, let's see if you even remember what the name of the podcast
Bob's
is.
Bob's no good at this. Bob, podcast, Talking Talker. You list all of our names. His name is Dennis Rodriguez. Your name goes last, and you have a tagline. Signing off.
I think we'll you guys have pretty much all done that. I think it should just basically end up with them with the image of you heading into the shower going, bow, chicka, wow, wow.
Hey, that's a perfect stopping point. Forget you, Bob. Let me tell you how it's done, Bob. Hey, Talking Talker podcast number 10. What is that word again in Spanish, Dennis?
Diaz.
Numero diez.
Numero diez.
It's not Diaz. It's Diaz.
Numero diez.
Diaz, right?
I'm not drinking enough.
Numero, hey, Talking Talker.
Diaz.
Numero diez.
Diaz.
For Nick Swimmer, Dennis Rodriguez, Crazy Bob Cook, I am Daniel Cormier. This has been Talking Talker After Dark. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.